Have you ever had one of those moments where you feel like you are on the right path, the right track that God has led you on, and you're content with it and you're fine with it and you don't dwell on other things, you're just focused on the fact that God has led you down this road and you're going with it? But then someone you talk to, or something you read, or someone or something you watch kind of plants this idea that maybe you're not content with that road after all? Well, today we will be talking about when those moments happen, why they happen, and what we choose to do about it. Hello again, friends, and welcome back to the Present Truth Parents podcast. I am the host, Marissa Morton, and if you are a new listener, thank you for being here, and I hope you find this podcast a blessing. If you are a returning listener, thanks for coming back. Last episode, I talked about a series that I wanted to get started talking about and addressing the idea of self-control. So, today is that first part of exercising self-control. There are going to be multiple parts. Right now, I think I have three or four already. So this is a topic that has really struck me and impressed me. And a lot of things are kind of under the umbrella of self-control, and it's definitely worth talking about and dwelling on and thinking about, especially as parents. So the title of today's episode is Exercising Self-Control, Setting a Watch Over Our Lips. And it is based on the scripture, Psalm 141, verse 3. And it's taken from the March 18th entry in the devotional by E.G. White called My Life Today. Okay, so in the intro, I talked about how there are moments when you might be content, when you are content with the road that God has led you on in your life. And then something happens where an idea is planted in your head that maybe that makes you think, well, am I really content on this road? So this is what has transpired. So I was reading the March 18th entry in My Life Today, and I was just so amazed at the perfect timing of me reading this entry and then kind of what I have been feeling around that same time frame. So I'll get more into that in a bit, but just quickly, I was going through this like moment of just reflection and really thanking God that I'm able to be a stay-at-home mom and raise my daughter the way that I am learning biblically and through Spirit of Prophecy how our children are to be raised and how we are to point them to Jesus and how we ourselves are transformed but the more time we spend with Jesus as parents. And so I was reflecting on that while at the same time there was this undercurrent of maybe I can be a stay-at-home mom, but I can work from home a little bit more, or I can work on another side, on other side things that will help provide more income for our family. And so I currently have a job where I work from home. It's I am able to work in the early morning hours before my family wakes up, and it's been working. So I'm very grateful for this job that I have. I'm very grateful that I can spend the day with my daughter. But there was a part of me, like I said, that undercurrent that made me think, well, maybe I can do something else. Like, what if I am missing out on opportunities or whatever it is? Especially if, like, I listen to other podcasts or other YouTubers who are also stay-at-home moms, and they talk about their other side projects they do, even though they have, you know, three kids or whatever it is that they do. And I'm like, that it's inspiring. Well, at the same time, I find myself kind of this automatic, like, oh, I can do that. I'm going to do that. That's what I need to do. That's where I need to be. That's the kind of go-getter, stay-at-home slash work-from-home parent that I need to be. So that goes into the when these moments happen, of when you feel like you're content with the road that God has led you on, but then there's an idea planted in your head. So for me, those moments happen when, yeah, I watch other people talk about their lifestyle, their life plan. And yeah, it's like automatic. I think, oh, maybe I could do that too. Or maybe I should do that too. But that's really working well for them. I feel like I can do that as well. So because of that, there are certain people that on YouTube that I don't follow because, or that I have to like not watch as much because that sense of kind of comparison automatically comes in. Or even though I may watch this particular YouTuber, I don't follow her on Instagram. I mean, I try to avoid Instagram in general because I have an issue with comparing, but I don't follow this particular person on Instagram because I find myself comparing myself to her or like saying, oh, I want to do that too, or something like that, whatever it is. So even though I do admire her, her content, I find that there has to be a limit for me. Otherwise, I go a little bit overboard. So that's when those moments, those thoughts happen, whenever I watch or hear somebody else talking about their lifestyle. Why this happens, why I feel this kind of discontent, even though I feel mostly content with the road that I believe God has led me on, I think because for so long, when we go through life, school, and getting education, and in high school, and you're focused on getting good grades so that you can make it to the next level, whatever that level is, right? It's high school, it's college, it's extracurriculars, and after college, it's the job that you want, your dream career, because that's kind of just woven in our society and driven into our brains, that there's just that automatic sense of, I have to do more. I need to do more. Because if I don't, then it looks like I'm lazy. If I don't, then it looks like I didn't take my education seriously. If I don't, then it looks like, what am I doing with my life? What's the point? Why are you not successful in the eyes of the world unless you're doing these things? There was something that was talking about this particular show that had to do with this actress. And for whatever reason, I was curious about it. And that particular show had popped up on a streaming service that I have for, you know, watching things. And it just happened to pop up like, oh, this particular streaming service is now showing the show. And I'm like, oh, whoa, what a coincidence. I was actually, you know, I just heard about that show maybe a few days before. So I'm like, I'm going to check it out. Even though time and time again, whenever there's a secular show or whatever, movie, whatever, I always end up stopping it, you know, either partway through or even in the very beginning, because I'm like, why am I watching this? Do I want to? Like in a entertainment, yeah, this is funny or whatever kind of way, of course. But thinking about, should I really be watching this? Should I really be listening to this? Is this the kind of content that I want, you know, to take up my mind? And so I thought, well, for whatever reason, I thought, hey, maybe this show's different. I don't know. So anyway, I took a look. I started playing the first episode of this show. And the things I was wrestling with already about being content or being discontent was, bam, right, played right before me in this, the scenario of the main character. She quit her job to raise her daughter, which I notice in a lot of these shows, doing that, choosing to do that is often looked at in a way that's not flattering. It's more like you chose to stay home and leave your career and raise your children until, you know, they're maybe off to college. And now you've basically, quote unquote, done nothing. And now you're trying to get back in the workforce and you won't get hired because you're old, you're inexperienced, or you or out of the game for so long, or whatever the case is. That's usually how choosing to stay at home with your children is looked at in the eyes of the production world. So that's how this show had started off. So again, that's this idea of discontent kind of was planted in my head. Needless to say, it made me feel uncomfortable because, like I said before, I was already wrestling with these kind of ideas. And then when I see something like this, it kind of definitely brings it to the forefront. And I kind of have to think about it. And so I stopped watching it because I'm like, nope, this is not where I need to be. This is not where I want my headspace to be in thinking that I am not where I'm supposed to be in my life right now as a stay-at-home mom with my daughter and my daughter who's on the way. Okay, so you're probably asking yourself, what's the point? Why is she bringing all of this up? What does this have to do with setting a watch over my lips? So all of that was kind of like the prologue to this next section. So thank you for being patient and sticking with me. So I'm going to go ahead and read the scripture in Psalm 141 that is attached to the March 18th entry in my life today. And then I will read the actual entry itself, the full entry. So this is what Psalm 141 verses 3 and 4 say. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. So now this is what the entry is that Ellen White has written for March 18th. And it's underneath the category of exercising self-control. I will set a watch over my lips. In the use of language, there is perhaps no error that old and young are more ready to pass over lightly in themselves than hasty, impatient speech. They think it is a sufficient excuse to plead, I was off my guard and did not really mean what I said. But God's word does not treat it lightly. The largest share of life's annoyances, its heartaches, its irritations, is due to uncontrolled temper. In one moment, by hasty, passionate, careless words, may be wrought evil that a whole lifetime's repentance cannot undo. Oh, the hearts that are broken, the friends estranged, the lives wrecked by the harsh, hasty words of those who might have brought help and healing. In his own strength, man cannot rule his spirit. But through Christ, he may gain self-control. Uniform firmness and unimpassioned control are necessary to the discipline of every family. Say what you mean calmly, move with consideration, and carry out what you say without deviation. Never let a frown gather upon your brow or a harsh word escape your lips. God writes all these words in his book of records. Overwork sometimes causes a loss of self-control. But the Lord never compels hurried, complicated movements. Many gather to themselves burdens that the merciful Heavenly Father did not place on them, duties He never designed them to perform chase one another wildly. God desires us to realize that we do not glorify His name when we take so many burdens that we are overtasked and becoming heart-weary and brain-weary, chafe and fret and scold. We are to bear only the responsibilities that the Lord gives us, trusting in Him and thus keeping our hearts pure and sweet and sympathetic. Reading this entry was perfect timing, or as my husband would say, clutch. For those moments when I deal with hasty speech and an uncontrolled temper, I am automatically filled with this feeling of guilt. Oh, I let my guard down again. I let my daughter down again. Because I reacted this way. Well, at the same time, I also am remembering that I have to take my eyes off myself. And those moments when I do fall and I do not what I should be doing, like I have to stop dwelling on that and then be grateful and thankful to God that He can help me overcome these things on a daily basis. That's also what I'm trying to remember when these moments happen. So while I've been thinking about goal chasing or career chasing or even continuing my education, I have to remember I love being a stay-at-home mom. I got a glimpse of that life and it was so horrible for me. Some moms can do it and that's great. I'm just not one of those moms. I wasn't even one of those people that could do the type of job I had. Anyway, that's another story for another time. So for me, this career, this full-time job, it was awful. It was my first full-time job doing what I thought I wanted to do for the rest of my life, doing what I told myself I wanted to do all throughout college. But I was coming home moody all the time. I just felt stressed all the time, uptight all the time, high-strung all the time. And we didn't even have children yet at that time. And I was still feeling like I was overwhelmed and overtasked. So this is not my idea of success. Where I am now is my vision of success. When I keep my focus on that, that this is where God wants me, that is success to me. And I'm happy with that. And I'm so, so glad that I am able to be home with my daughter, that I'm able to teach her and to rear her and to raise her and to just have fun with her. It really is where I want to be. It's my joy. It's my purpose. I'm training under the master of Christ, who is then helping me train my child for a life beyond this one. That is what keeps me going. It's those moments where I let myself dwell on thinking that I should be doing more that causes this wrestling in my head. So remember that quote where she says, "Overwork sometimes causes a loss of self-control." Yeah, that was me before I had kids. And I can only imagine that that's how I would be if I was still doing that same type of job and also trying to raise a family. So again, I know God has placed me where I need to be. And again, I am so grateful I get to be home with my child. This is where God has placed me to build my character and to remove the distractions of the career world that have often consumed my time and my energy. And this is the precious moments of spending time with my daughter to build her character. This is so power-packed for me because I feel the pressure to do more, to work more, to seek more, to grow more intellectually. But I'm currently watching a series on the blueprint of true education that we've been given in the Bible and what Ellen White has written about education and how education for our children should be conducted. And a lot of her quotes talk about how true intellectual growth happens when we read the Bible and spend time with God and spend time in nature learning about God and learning about Christ. That's where true intellectual growth comes from. And so for me to be successful, I need to do that individually. I also need to do that with my daughter. I am grateful for these moments when things like this come together. So I hate the uncomfortable feelings, like, when I was watching that show or when I see a YouTube channel and they're talking about their success and their lifestyle. So I don't like those uncomfortable feelings. But when I take a step back and realize where God has planted me, my direction in life does not come from these shows or these people that mean these shows that mean nothing to me, that they're doing nothing for my spiritual growth at all. My direction is from everything I've been learning, from spending time with God, by reading the devotionals, by reading the Bible, by listening to content that identifies what true education is and what true parenting is, and all of these things. These truths are where my contentment is coming from, all woven together. I also do believe that this desire that I have to do more is fulfilled with this podcast ministry and will also continue to be fulfilled once we start serving in a church again. So yeah, why gather unnecessary burdens if I don't have to? I feel like the entry in my life today was written just for me because I notice in overworking and overtasking myself, I am irritable. It affects my speech, my patience, my attitude. And that is not the example I want to set as a mother for my children. If I went after the things that were not impressed to me by God, then I would be directly going against his counsel because I would be overworking myself and overtasking myself. I would, as she said earlier, quote, chafe, fret, and scold, end quote. And like I said before, this is not the example I want to set for my children. My responsibility is my family, and I'm learning to manage my family in a way that where I do not lose self-control. I also want to take the time here to mention how last week a friend of mine had sent this message in a group text that we're a part of, and it just went along so well with the timing of that show that I started watching and then the ideas and feelings that it planted in my head. So she sent a screenshot or an image of a devotional that she's reading called Jesus Name Above All Names, and it's from the April 14th entry titled Friend of the Helpless. And it says, the first work of those who would reform is to purify the imagination. If the mind is led out in a vicious direction, it must be restrained to dwell only upon pure and elevated subjects. When tempted to yield to a corrupt imagination, then flee to the throne of grace and pray for the strength from heaven. In the strength of God, the imagination can be disciplined to dwell upon things which are pure and heavenly. Those who would have the wisdom which is from God must become fools in the sinful knowledge of this age in order to be wise. They should shut their eyes, that they may see and learn no evil. They should close their ears, lest they hear that which is evil, and obtain that knowledge which would stain their purity of thoughts and acts. And they should guard their tongues, lest they utter corrupt communications and guile be found in their mouths. All are accountable for their actions while upon probation in this world. All have power to control their actions. If they are weak in virtue and purity of thoughts and acts, they can obtain help from the friend of the helpless. Jesus is acquainted with all the weaknesses of human nature, and, if entreated, will give strength to overcome the most powerful temptations. All can obtain this strength if they seek for it in humility. Jesus gives all a blessed invitation who are burdened and laden with sin to come to him, the sinner's friend. Here the most inquisitive may safely learn in the school of Christ that which will prove for their present and everlasting good. The uneasy and dissatisfied will here find rest. With their thoughts and affections centered in Christ, they will obtain true wisdom, which will be worth more to them than the richest earthly treasures. So again, the timing is just right. God's timing is always right. And in this context, it was right. I mean, it always is. But it's just a reminder of, yes, God has placed this contentedness within me for a reason. And I can choose to let other people or other things cloud my vision and cloud my mind. Or I can remember what God has impressed me with and push everything else aside, those distractions, those worldly influences. So if we feel moments of discontent woven with feelings of content, the best way to seek clarity is to spend that moment, that quiet moment alone with God in prayer, in meditation, in reading his word, and ask for that guidance. And yes, there are some times where you will have to go to a trusted mentor or a pastor for maybe other guided direction, but definitely taking that time to seek the Lord and his will for you and your life will make the difference. So this all is a reminder to me to reframe my mindset that has been my mindset since I started going to school and form it into the mindset that God wants me to have. And that's putting Jesus first, trusting in biblical principles, applying them to my life, applying them to my family's life, and looking to Jesus always and pointing our children in the same direction. Being loving to others, being kind to others, all of this is just so important and under the category of self-control. So my hope and my prayer is for you today, dear listener, wherever you are in your life, whatever season you're in parenthood, that you can remember that Christ is always there, our trusted friend, to help us and to guide us and to give us, as I heard in the sermon this morning, that supernatural power that we need as parents to raise our children. And there are times when I get terrified of how my anxiety is going to manifest itself once our second child does come. And I think, how am I going to do this? How am I going to exercise self-control and not speak impatient, hasty, unkind words, and take care of my house and take care of a newborn and take care of a toddler? Like, all of these thoughts overwhelm me. And I have to remember to ask God for that supernatural power, even now, for when I'm at home with two children, two babies. And let us all keep encouraging one another on this Christian road that we're on as individuals and as parents. Thanks for listening. I think this episode is one of my longer ones. I hope you stuck with it. If you did, I hope you were blessed. And I will catch you in the next one. Have a good day, friends. Bye.